D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, breaking down Vanderbilt's historic win against number one Alabama on Saturday. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Vanderbilt football general manager Barton Simmons. First of all, Barton, congratulations to you and the rest of the Vanderbilt football program for this momentous win. I first do have to ask, how did you celebrate this win once you had the opportunity to bask it all in?
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, my wife was taking our two daughters to a concert. There was like a concert at Ascend downtown, and she was going to take them to it. They're like 9 and 7. And when, you know, and they were like watching the game at dinner and you know, when things went down as they did, they reversed plans and, my sister lives in town and I went home and, had a couple cocktails, and enjoyed it with the family. And, you know, we ended up heading over to another friend's house that was a Vanderbilt alum. And just, you know, what was cool about it was, there's just so many Vanderbilt alumni that have never, that have been waiting kind of their whole lives to experience that, right? Like a big win, a validating win that they could really be proud of. And so there was a lot of those people around that, it was fun to just see and just see how much it meant to them and how important it was to them. And so, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Saturday. I enjoyed Saturday night and woke up Sunday ready to go beat Kentucky.
Your family was already down by the river if they were at a show at Ascend Amphitheater.
They were going the wrong direction.
Your daughters could have helped lower the goalpost into the Cumberland River. But
right.
In your role as general manager, Derek touched on this in the last hour. Wins like this put programs on the map. A win like this against Alabama, football players, soon-to-be college football players, may look at Vanderbilt as a potential option that they otherwise might not have done had the result been reversed. In your role as GM, what is the impact in the short term and the long term that this win can help have on roster building?
Well, listen, I think the reality of what Vanderbilt is that this is a dream opportunity for most college football prospects in the country. It's in an incredible city. It's in the best conference in college football, the closest thing to the NFL. You get to get an incredible education, which is second to none. And you know, and on top of all that, like we're really proud of the way we build a program, the way we treat the people in this building, the way Clark is building the person as well as the player. And so, like, this is the best opportunity in the country. But the hold up and the hang up is that it's, you know, guys are it's hard for them to commit to something they haven't seen. It's hard for them to believe in something that's never been done. And so to do it, to show those like tangible signs of progress, really kind of blows the lid off of what we can be. Like, we don't have to make these sort of promises that this is happening. They're seeing it happen. And so it really opens the door. It really opens the opportunity. And I think even our stadium, man, like our stadium, hey, there was a lot more crimson in there than there was black and gold, but I don't begrudge our fans for that. I mean, a Vanderbilt fan has lived a tough existence for the better part of of the last lifetime, however old you are. And so, all you need is evidence, and people will start showing up. And I have no doubt that people are going to start showing up. Our student section is already on board. Man, what a performance by them on Saturday night. And so that stadium's going to start to shift, and it's going to start to transform. And because all people have needed was just proof of life, and it's taken us to this point to build it from where we, you know, where we picked up and what we had to get done and the landscape that we were navigating through. Like, you know, this is no arrival, but it was certainly proof that, like, we are in a position now to go and be competitive in any game and go win. And so all those things unlock what this place can be. And once this thing is rolling, and once the momentum has fully reached its peak, I mean, who's going to stop us? I mean, that's the belief we have. That's the, you know, when Clark said 2 years ago that Vanderbilt's the best program in the country at Media Day, and everyone scoffed and laughed at it, and we went on to have a struggle the following season. I mean, he meant it. I mean, and we believe it, and we believe that that's what the potential that exists here. And so, you know, we have to continue to build on the success we found on Saturday. But obviously, we've seen that we're good enough to beat any team in the country. We're also good enough to lose. You know, we've got to stay focused and go attack the next one.
We'll talk with Barton Simmons, GM for the Vanderbilt football team. And it's still weird saying GM, Barton, on a college level. I still got to get used to that. But since if you can begrudge the fans, I will begrudge them, because what they've seen this year, just looking at this year, they should have been in that stadium. There should have been more fans in that stadium that were wearing black and gold, because what that team and what the head coach has shown them, even in the losses, that this is a highly competitive team, and they are on the brink of doing something special. And something special was this past weekend beating the number one team in the country. But I want to ask you, because you've been a part of the whole 24/7 and recruiting and stuff like that. So I know you probably had a hand in evaluating Diego Pave before he got here. Why him? Why did y'all look at him and say, okay, this is the guy? I know you brought the coaching staff over, but bringing the coaching staff over sometimes won't get the quarterback as well. Yeah. But why Pavi? Why was he the guy that y'all say, okay, he's the guy that can lead us to where we want to go?
Well, listen, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I was sitting in a dark room scouting tape, and, you know, I called over to the scouting assistant and said, hey, check this guy out. Like, I think I may have found something here. Like, how that all happened is we hired Tim Beck to put together an offense, and he showed up first day and he said, hey, I got a quarterback, and let me tell you about him. And, you know, it didn't, the tape really didn't even matter to a certain extent, because the way Diego Pavia was described to me and described to Clark and was this, was what you see on the field. And I don't mean the play, I mean the person, the competitiveness, the toughness, the leadership, the confidence. You know, he was described to us as someone that's going to capture the team, was someone that's going to, he's going to have his hooks in this team, offensively and defensively. And so, you know, yeah, sign me up for that. And you know what we brought Diego in. The way this transfer portal worked out and the sort of the timing of it all is, and there's a lot of variables in play and a lot of factors around timing. You know, academics were in play, graduation, like when the dead period ended and when our offensive coordinator hire was made. There was a lot we were sorting through. We lost three scholarship quarterbacks to the portal. We were going into the spring with one scholarship quarterback. If we didn't get somebody at the midyear, we would have one quarterback for spring ball. And so when you throw all those factors in, you know, we had to make some moves, and we had to be aggressive, and Diego wasn't going to be able to arrive until June relative to because of when he was graduating. And so we took Diego as our sixth quarterback, and and you know, and building a roster, you don't want to have six scholarship quarterbacks on your roster. That's not ideal, for your number allocation. But that's how important he was to what we were building and how much belief we had in him and how much belief those coaches had in him. And again, I'll give all the credit for Diego comes from Tim Beck and Jerry Kill and those guys and how much they believed in him and how much Diego believed in them in return and what we could do here together. And you know, again, ultimately for us, it was a win-win situation because at minimum, he was going to come in and inject this team with an edge and a toughness and a competitive spirit that that was going to help us. He's done that, and he's also been, in my opinion, the best quarterback in college football. We just got to continue to let him do his thing, and he's gonna find ways for us to win some more games.
Barton Simmons is with us, general manager of the Vanderbilt football program. He's been there since 2021, played his high school ball with Clark Lee back in the day at Montgomery Bell, so those two go way back. Barton, I want to ask you about you. I heard Clark talking about after the game, sort of the low point at the end of last season where you guys had to sort of go back to the drawing board and say, okay, we've got to change how we do this. What were those conversations like? And maybe what was the starting point of this is the direction we need to go to transform our roster?
Well, I think the starting point there is, you know, you can't talk about those conversations without mentioning Candace Lee and the support that she delivered to our program and to Clark and sort of listen. We basically said, We can't do this without a certain level of support, and that is easier said than done at Vanderbilt because of some of those things I talked about in terms of the fandom and the support and Candace really backed Clark and said go do what you need to do, and with that we were able to sort of participate in college football in the same way that our peers are participating in college football for the first time since we've been here. So that was a big turning point. I think as much as anything, I mean, I'd say December was one of the more challenging months of my professional life at minimum. Part of that was just the feeling that, you know, coming off the year we had and all the work we had put in to get to that point, it felt like it was all kind of up in the air. You know, it was in the balance. And for every player like a Miles Capers, or a Brian Longwell or, Tyson Russell or anybody that kind of walked in that office and said, Coach, you know, I'm in. And it was so, that was so encouraging. And then to be able to then parlay those moments and really take a super, just a lens started to shift in terms of what needed to be done to get this program on track. And it was all about, and listen, part of those conversations with Candace and part of those, the support we have from the administration, there were some admissions elements in there as well. And those are more complex conversations, but I mean, we're getting support, you know? And so, those things started to unlock what we could do. And we took a really aggressive approach into the spring and that, you know, truthfully, that's about our own roster too, and having conversations about, hey, can you help us here? And if you can't, is there a better opportunity for you somewhere? And those are not all negative conversations. You know, some of that's about just being honest. But ultimately, we had to take an approach of if it's not helping us win football games and win football games right now, then we really need to think about, you know, whether it's something that a move we need to make. And And I think, honestly, that, you know, I think Jerry Kill was you know, his perspective was helpful in that, and the experience he's had. And so it was just, you know, the program started to feel different, and our goals started to feel different. Our mindset started to feel different. And honestly, Clark's involvement in the defensive side of the ball helped transform that as well, because he's such a good football coach. And for him to spend more time coaching football as opposed to sort of the broader CEO elements of the job, which he had to do over the first 2 or 3 years, that unlocks some things for our team. It unlocks some confidence. It unlocks some, you know, just some belief. And so all those things started to come together, and got us to that Virginia Tech game. And you know, that belief needs to carry us through the back half of the season, where we got a bunch of really tough games coming up, including Kentucky this weekend. And so, you know, this is a team that feels very different than any team we've had here, and that's I think a product both of the newness, but also of that coming in contact with a foundation that we worked really hard on for 3 years, that is finally ready to come of age.
Barton, last thing for you. The guys I thought of a lot in this day and age, and you've seen the transformation here, and some of it allowed you guys to make this happen quickly, get to this point pretty quickly with the fluidity of a roster. But, you know, you guys were nice enough to invite me to a couple practices over the last couple of years. The guys that I met who went through the tough time last year are the guys that I think about a lot. D-Mace and I got a chance to meet DeRicky Wright and have him on the show a couple years ago when he was working for the Boys and Girls Club. C.J. Taylor, Cedric Alexander, Junior Sherrill. There's a bunch of other guys, you know, the CPA crew, the linebackers, mm-hmm. I mean, Patterson. I love for those guys who kind of leaned into it and said, no, a lot of people are leaving, don't want to be a part of this. I want to stay.
Right.
And stuck it out, because in this day and age, it's so easy for a college athlete to say, well, if I don't like it over here, I'll go over there. So those are the guys I really am satisfied for.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll go one more on you there too, is after that game and the, you know, on the field and the field storming, you know, I saw guys like Bradley Ashmore, who was our starting right tackle last year. Jake Ketchik, who since had to retire medically, you know, you know, I saw former players that have transferred out that were here on their bye weekend in the stands with Vanderbilt gear on. You know, some of those guys, especially the guys that graduated and left, I mean, for them to feel, and I told those guys, listen, this is the tears in their eyes, you know, this is your win too. You did it. Gavin Schoenwald, you know, like this is, I think for them, it's important for them to understand, like, that they poured into something and invested in something, and they didn't always get the returns on it. You know, we had a couple of moments there, and particularly in 22, and we didn't have a whole lot to hang our hat on in 23. But for them to know that, you know, as we start to see this program really take shape and start to look like a Vanderbilt football product that we're proud of, that they are part of it too, you know, and that really everyone that's worn a Vanderbilt uniform, I mean, to know that, you know, we want them to be included in this, and just going back to, you know, how much it means to me to see some of the emotion and some of the alumni and supporters, you know, eyes through the years. I mean, hey, it's everyone has earned this, you know, together. And, you know, we're hopeful that we can continue to have some good moments for this fandom and for these former players and for this current roster. We're working hard to do that. And, you know, like I said, I think it's been really important this week to turn the page to Kentucky in this building, but I'm glad to be on here talking about you guys. Because, you know, I think for the city and for the alumni base to enjoy some Vanderbilt talk right now is well-earned and something we're proud to do.
Barton, we have a texter who asks if you have set up a GoFundMe so that people can help pay the field storming fine.
The university should pay for it. They're good. They got enough money.
I think they're happy to write that check, right?
They don't need no GoFundMe. The university will pay for that.
But the fans want to be involved.
Fast,
The fans want to be a part of it.
Buy tickets.
They were involved. They carried it down to the Cumberland.
Well, guys, you can go. They you know they fished the goalposts out of the river, mm-hmm. and you can go. There's a link right now out there where you can buy 4 inches or 8 inches of the goalposts for $2,000. You can get a pylon. You can get a helmet. You can get all kinds of pieces from this game. And listen, yeah, university's got money, but hey, over time, we're going to need that money to pay our players. And I can say that publicly on the radio. And so anything that we can get, listen, don't think, hey, Vanderbilt's wealthy, we got enough. Hey, bring it on, fellas. You know, we need all the support that we can get from the city, because at some point, you know, what's going to allow us to be competitive is the ability to pay our football team. And that's I'm not scared to say that. And we're hoping that a win like this helps to continue to bring awareness to that. And continue to showcase to our fan base and our supporters that, hey, we get the right players in here, there's nothing we can't do. And we're focused on that every day.
Well, give Clark Lee a forever contract. And I'm not even talking money. I'm just saying, as long as you want to be the football coach here, Clark, you can. We ain't going to even mess with you. So after that victory, and I know there will be many more to come, but what he's done with that program and in the years he's been here, I know y'all had a plan and a process, and that plan and process isn't over yet. I know that.
That's right.
But boy, oh boy, man, this season has started off, you know, pretty damn good. I know you have two losses, but though in those two losses, you still had an opportunity to win, and Diego gave y'all that opportunity, and he gave it to you Saturday. So congratulations to you and that program.
Well, I appreciate it. And like I said, I appreciate you guys talking about Vanderbilt football, and we're going to hopefully give you some more to keep talking about. We got more work to do, and we're excited to go up to Lexington and see if we can keep this thing going.
Vanderbilt football general manager Barton Simmons joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Barton, thank you for your time, and good luck this weekend against Kentucky.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks to Barton Simmons for joining us talking about Vanderbilt's win against Alabama. And as we were talking to Barton, we have First Take on the TV above my shoulder.
And McAfee on the other TV. It was just flowing with the goalposts coming mm-hmm. down, the highlights from the game. It's just you can't put a tangible number on. This is why we were talking about biggest win.
Even though mm-hmm. they're talking about it from the Alabama perspective.
To like, a large extent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the question they were asking on First Take is, was this damaging to Alabama's mystique that they lost to Vanderbilt? But Vanderbilt is being mentioned. The highlights of the goalpost are being shown. That's a lot of free publicity, free advertising, as Barton
because
was talking
they
about.
Can't, they can't say, well, at least I'm sure, Shannon and Stevie, they probably haven't watched a Vandy game in the last 10 years.
That's probably true, and it's easy to jump all over Alabama, by the way. Looking forward to how Nick Saban responds on College Game Day this weekend. We'll have to keep our ears open for that. 615-737-1025. We will get back to the conversation about Vanderbilt and Alabama a little bit later in the program. But coming up next, the Nashville Predators open their regular season on Thursday. On Friday, this past Friday, I presented my first two Predators questions. We will get back to those questions. I have questions number 3 and 4 prepared for Willie and Derek. We'll do that next. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.